seeing the podcast as well, they don't really,
okay.
They don't really care about the language. So we also don't really care about the language.
Hello guys, welcome to Poppedia Podcast. I'm Vansh and this is Yash, and today we have a very special guest with us. So please welcome, welcome on Poppedia.
Thank you.
Kush Shah, he is the founder of Pro Screamery and Those Bros. So please tell us about the brand first so that the audience can understand it.
So guys, thank you so much, you know, for having me here. And Those Bros is one of my brands, you know, which we have 25 plus locations in US, and you know, now we have presence in Ahmedabad in India. You know, we have two locations, and we also have three new locations opening in Vancouver, Canada. So we'll have presence in three countries with Those Bros. It's a brand, you know, which specializes in healthy eating Mexican concept. We focus a lot on the ingredients when it comes to Those Bros, and you know, we have gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian options as well available. Of course, in India, you know, we have a lot of vegetarian options, but in US, it does make a difference, you know, having, you know, the vegetarian market is growing predominantly. You know, that is about Those Bros. And Bros Creamery is actually another startup project of mine, which specializes in customized coffees, and it specializes in custom ice creams. It's a high-end, made-to-order custom ice creams and coffee concept. So these are the two of my food concepts, you know, that, you know, Those Bros, of course, has made it really big. We plan on doing the same with the creamery as well, you know, hopefully make it a chain. My expertise is into quick serve restaurants, QSR concepts. And, you know, eventually, you know, once we start expanding, once they start doing well, you know, we get into valuations.
So what's the difference between a restaurant like a quick service restaurant such as Those Bros and a fast food Mexican chain?
So, you know, quick serve and fast food are sort of, in a way, not too different from each other. Mm. But with quick serve, what happens is it's not as fast as fast food. And most of the quick serve restaurants do focus on the quality of the ingredients and making fresh to order. Mm. Whereas fast food, you know, when you go to McDonald's, when you go to Burger King, when you go to Taco Bell, you know, everything's pretty much ready. You know, in the busy times, you know, you order this, it comes in the paper, it's in box, and it's, you know, it's comfort. It's you know, they've got great tasting products, you know, but not necessarily the best for your body. You know, whereas QSRs, quick serves, you know, they mostly specialize into custom ordering. You go to the counter, you know, you order your stuff, and maybe they'll bring it out to your table. Or like Those Bros, you know, you pretty much, it's like Subway. You know, it's everything's ready. You know, we make everything fresh every day. It's on the serving line, right in front of you, buffet style. And, you know, you pick, you choose, you make your bowl, salad, burrito, nachos, tacos, or quesadillas. We offer six entrees. So, you know, you pretty much, you know, get fresh food, you know. And that's, I think, where, you know, I feel like the next decade or couple of decades, you know, that's going to be now really important. You know, people are going to start getting out of the junk food trend. And, you know, especially India.
The shift we can already see, like gluten-free food as well, and
vegan food,
people are starting to think about their health as well and the things that they have in their body. Like if someone is lactose intolerant, they'll eat lactose intolerant food.
Correct. We actually, in fact, you know, at Those Bros, you know, have a lot of people who eat vegan, and you know, they love coming there gluten-free as well. You know, we are a gluten-friendly restaurant. You know, almost 70% of my menu is gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people love coming and doing that. I'm also seeing a lot of non-dairy options as well. At the Bros Creamery, we offer 3 to 4 different types of milk. You know, we have the oat, almond, soy, and the low fat. And I think we're just about to bring coconut milk as well.
Nice.
So, you know, there's a demand, you know, and, you know, there's been so many people coming in at the creamery as well for vegan ice cream options, you know, which we are working on as well. But, you know, this market is growing significantly.
Yeah,
I feel like in Ahmedabad, I think we used to have a vegan restaurant. It shut down, I think. But I think we are not too far. I feel in a year or two, someone will open up a entirely pure vegan restaurant.
Definitely.
Being a heavily non-vegetarian myself, when I first tried vegan meat, it was not that bad. I mean, it's a good alternative if you want to substitute meat from your diet. But what's your take about that, and what's your diet like?
My diet, man, you know, I really don't follow any specific because, you know, I'm a hardcore foodie. You know, most of my friends that know me, you know, I'm a food traveler and I eat like crazy, man. You know, most of my stories on Gram, you know, is about food. And, you know, always they keep on asking me, you know, how do I stay fit? But the thing is, you know, I control my portions. You know, definitely I control my portions, you know, when I, what I'm eating. And, you know, I do have a sweet tooth, so I'll indulge in desserts as well. 1-2 spoons is good enough for me. But, you know, I try to stick more to my home-cooked meals. You know, if I'm eating outside, you know, then I try to eat clean. You know, I try to eat at good restaurants. And, you know, just sticking to your proteins, carbs, and, you know, just having a good balance and not indulging too much in oily foods, not indulging too much into sweet food. And, you know, just, you know, having a basic knowledge, you know, of your digestion system. And and yeah, you know, and you know, as long as you know that, you know, you're balancing your greens, your fruits, your proteins, your carbs, I think you're sorted. You know, I feel like, you know, I mean, you know, it's unless you're working for a certain goal, it's a different story. But you know, I've been through that phase, you know, a decade ago. You know, I was, you know, I wanted to be buff and big and shredded and stuff, and then, you know, I went on that cycle. But you can do that for 6 months, you know, get your six pack and everything, but to sustain it, you have to be either like strong-headed, like John Abraham. You know, John Abraham is one of my idols. You know, he, I think, says that he hasn't had like his Kaju Katri, his like favorite thing.
Yes.
He hasn't had it for like 25 years.
He's also vegetarian.
I can't do that. You know, I don't have that willpower, you know,
exactly.
To, if you want to achieve your goals, meal prepping and eating at the right time, having a disciplined routine with your meals is extremely important. Then it'll keep you away from indulging into the wrong foods. Because a lot of times it used to happen that, you know, I, you know, play cricket, you know, I have a long game and I haven't prepped for my meal. And, you know, I'm just on the way back to my home. Taco Bell or some fast food joint is on the way, the first food that I can access. And I'll indulge in calorie eating, you know, which is not good for me. But, you know, so I feel like, you know, that is the secret is, and, you know, once I started timing my meals, especially after my gym, it really started helping me eat clean. And also kill that craving, you know, right away. Because, you know, your body, you know, once you work out, you know, it's asking, you know, for the proteins, carbs.
Glycogen is
absolutely. So, you know, you definitely want to, you know, hit it with some good food. So, you know, I
so
think
you,
definitely.
We previously talked, like before the recording started, you said you did a course or you dropped out of sports management.
I did.
So, but how did the entire restaurant business or starting a restaurant business came into your mind? Because you... clearly did not have a background in starting.
See, the thing is, man, you know, my heart, you know, being a Gujju, you know, growing up in Ahmedabad, always thrived and, you know, sort of imagined and dreamed about being an entrepreneur one day. So, you know, that was, I guess that is maybe embedded in my genes. Though my dad wasn't an entrepreneur, my grandfather wasn't an entrepreneur. But I think just looking at people around and the kind of ambition that I had growing up, you know, I just wanted to, you know, be successful. And, you know, success means, you know, at that time meant owning big home, good cars, you know, wearing fancy clothes. Of course, success definition is now way different in my life, you know, once you, you know, once you mature, you know, and things, you know, once you grow up. But that's what my aspiration was growing up. And, you know, I wasn't the most brilliant kid, you know, when it came to studies. You know, I really didn't enjoy that. Not that I encourage youngsters or, you know, people to not finish school and college, but you know, for me it just didn't work out. And then in the industry that I ended up going in, I shifted to US when I was 17 and, you know, started my college, and I was in college for a couple of years, dropped out, and I was just you know, I loved what I did. I was into the restaurant field. I was serving you know, serving tables, I was waiting tables, I was bartending at that time. And I think around 19, you know, I think I got an opportunity to become a supervisor or an assistant manager for the company that I was working for. So I took that opportunity up. And it's financially very rewarding, you know, and especially in the restaurant industry. You know, you really don't need a lot of education background, you know, as long as you have experience, especially in the United States and Western countries, where you make pretty good money even as blue-collar jobs. It's unlike India, you know, blue-collar jobs don't pay a lot. Now, though, you know, that standard has changed, you know, from what I have seen. And, you know, the salary levels have changed, you know, and you can definitely make a career in this industry in India and in Ahmedabad as well, you know, even if you have education or you don't have education.
Yeah. So what, like, what was the first thought when you saw the first store of Ghost Ghost open in the US, and where was it exactly?
So the first location, you know, I actually partnered up, you know, I have a co-founder, Milan Patel, you know, he's my very close friend. And, you know, we met playing basketball and we both founded the company. And, you know, when we opened the first location, we opened in Cleveland, Tennessee in 2015. It's a small town, you know, down south, you know, southeast of United States, near close to Atlanta. And that's Jack Daniels, absolutely.
Yeah.
JD is from Tennessee. You know, it's I've been to the factory and it's because of the water. They're right on the river, and that water plays a huge role in that flavoring of the whiskey. So yeah, that's, you're right. Jack Daniels is from Tennessee, and so is Dos Bros. And that's where we found it. And you know, man, it was just amazing, man, seeing Dos Bros open, because I had done a lot of research. And the thing is that I had actually faced a massive failure before coming to Dos Bros. I actually had opened a frozen yogurt store, which actually flopped. So me and my business partner, we lost almost $400,000 in that project. And also, not only that, but, you know, I pretty much, that was my life saving that I had, that I put in the business, and it was all gone. And then to come back and see a successful restaurant was like a dream come true. You know, for the first 6 months, I'm not kidding, every morning that I wake up, I used to pinch myself every morning, because you know, I went from losing, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a month in losses at my business to earning $25,000-$30,000 a month in Dos Bros.
In profits.
And man, it was like, just, I was just not able to believe it. Like, for almost, it took me a few months to really start acknowledging that. And like believing that, no, I'm doing well, I'm doing great now, you know, things are great. So, you know, it took
so
a lot.
How did all began from there? Like, how did it all progress? And what was the thought process at the time like? Because a lot of young entrepreneurs who want to start a restaurant business or who want to start any, you know, of their own ventures, they do not have enough capital, but they have enough ambition. Right. So how did you manage to progress, and how, from where did the investments come from, or what one has to do to become successful?
So you have to either, like they say, beg, borrow, or steal, you know, so you, you gotta get started somewhere. So, you know, you gotta, you know, maybe have the right set of friends around you, or the family, or someone, you know. When I, you know, was in my downstage, you know, my business partner Milan and, you know, my father-in-law, you know, they both supported me financially to get started and get going again with the venture of Dos Bros. And like I said, you know, I was financially broke at the time. You know, my wife, of course, played a huge role as well, you know, supporting the family, you know, in the down times. So, you know, you just gotta have the right circle around you. You know, of course, you know, my entrepreneur journey, you know, was, you know, Dos Bros and stuff, you know, was around 32-33 is when it was going on. I used to have another venture as well before that called Lounge Night in Ahmedabad. You know, this was back in when I was 20, you know, when back in 2005 is when the venture, you know, I'd opened. I was 21, 22 at that time, just shifted back from US. So that's when my first business started, you know. That's, so I had an experience at that time as well. But for young entrepreneurs, I would say that, you know, love, you know, be passionate about what you're trying to do. And if you're planning on getting into the restaurant industry, or any business for so, you have to love numbers. You have to love accounting. So that is the number one key for any entrepreneur, that you have to be in love with your numbers. At the end of the day, passion, of course, plays a huge role. Your love, you know, your hard work, everything's going to play a role. I'll give you an example with Lounge 9. When I opened Lounge 9 when I was 22 years old, it was first restaurant in Ahmedabad, you know, with the kind of cuisine that we had gotten in. It was completely international food, Mediterranean, Italian, Chinese, Mexican. And, you know, when it opened up, things were going great. And, you know, I was very focused on the customer service, on the menu. You know, I was personally attending my customers, everyone. But, you know, where I went necessarily wrong, I felt, and what I learned out of it, was that I was not paying attention to my numbers. So we were doing at that time around 7-8 lakhs of sales every month. And you know, we were making barely 50,000 rupees, 60,000 rupees a month after so much of hard work and, you know, taking risk on the project. You know, we must have invested around 35 to 40 lakhs onto the project, and it was on IIM Road. And so, you know, I really, you know, after a while, I think after a year, year and a half, when we started really looking into numbers, you know, there was a lot of theft happening. Theft at different levels. You know, my vendors would come, you know, they'll deliver, let's say, vegetables, itna kilo aaya.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we check it, it's not even the invoices, like, you know, they deliver 10 kgs and the invoice is for 20. So, you know, looking at the numbers, it's extremely, extremely important. And especially with the restaurant business, it's very dangerous, is because you're collecting cash right away and your bills show up after a month or two. So you don't account for that. And most restaurant owners go wrong in that thought process. Ki aaj to paisa hai. You know, today, you know, the money is in the account, so let's spend it. But they don't await that the bills are yet to come in. And, you know, they're also not prepared in terms of having a good reserve balance. Because you always, especially COVID has taught that now again, you know, it's like reiterated. But, you know, these incidences teach you a lesson of having cash reserve. So, you know, that as well is extremely, extremely important to have reserve cash, to have, you know, if you're going to get started with the restaurant business, make sure you have funds to last a year, 1 year. Because most owners these days, they barely have funds. You know, by the time they're done with their project, they're pretty much zero, zero in the bank balance, or they are in negative. They're already over budget.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, where they go wrong. Because, you know, now, you know, you're getting started. And especially with restaurant business in smaller tier cities, what happens is there's not a lot to do. So you have an amazing honeymoon period. So 2, 3, 4 months, you know, people will take you to cloud nine. And then suddenly the things, you know, your sales numbers drop after the newness, the fad is gone.
Yeah.
And that's where entrepreneurs are shocked. Ki kya hua? You know, what happened? And, you know, by the time they realize, dude, it's just too late. You know, it's too late in the game. So
has your definition of success changed? Because you've been in the game for a long time now, right? You know what's happening, what's not happening. So
yeah.
Do you look at success in a different way now? And what successful?
I do, man. You know, like I said, you know, as a kid, you know, I, you know, roaming around in a Mercedes Benz, or, you know, having a big home,
yeah,
or, you know, having flashy clothes, you know, that was success for me. But, you know, once you mature, once you learn things, you know, once you realize, you know, success is, I feel a definition of success is different for every person to person.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, it can be just, for me, it could be eating just a small, simple meal that I love. For someone, it could be spending time with their loved ones. You know, for someone, it could be doing what they're passionate about. For someone, it could be money. For someone, it could be a home. It could be an expensive watch. So it's very the definition of success, I feel, is the definition is very elaborate. And it just sort of, for me, I feel, you know, being successful is equal to being happy. If you're happy, I think, you know, once you have a bunch of money and, you know, once you are successful in that aspect where you can purchase things that make you a little happy, you look for things beyond that, you know, which you look for happiness, which is going to last you forever. For me, is definitely being happy and content and satisfied and solving the sense of purpose why you are sent here.
So coming back to the business model of those stores, right? So you have stores across US, across India, and now you are planning to open stores in Canada as well. So, I just wanted to ask about the economics of each country in helping the restaurant business grow, subjectively. I mean, is it easier to open a restaurant in India than in the US or in Canada? Or what is the tax system like? Or how do the local governments play a role in, you know, helping the entrepreneurs build a business like this?
See, I'll tell you that it's always easy to open a business in the country that you spend a lot of time. And, you know, that's because, you know, the system in and out, you know, the workings, inner workings, what's going on. India, definitely, man, you know, it's in India, it is definitely very simple in terms of, if I compare it to US or Canada, in terms of ease of business, I would rate India number one. I would rate number two, United States, and Canada would be number three. Because you know, getting permitting and getting the licensing and everything in Canada is quite tough. US, it's a little bit easier, you know, though it's streamlined, you know, it's much, they're much more business friendly. Of course, US being a capitalistic country. And India, on the other hand, you know, still, I feel India is still working on those laws and licensing and stuff. But here, things are much more easier and you can get things done under the table as well, you know, and stuff. And, you know, it's just the sad truth, but, you know, that's, you know, it gets the job done. And, you know, in India, you know, because, you know, we still do a lot of manufacturing, which is a huge strength. You know, I love what, you know, the Indian government has done in the past few years, how they've tackled COVID, where other countries have printed crazy amount of money and just given handouts. You know, India has not done that. And, you know, I think that keeps our economy really strong. And, you know, they have done it where it's needed, you know, but I think people of this country have been really kind and, you know, they've helped other people as well, you know, and, you know, to sort of come up in the times of COVID and everything. Whereas, you know, Western countries, you know, people are self-sufficient in a way, you know, you really don't see poor people out on the streets and stuff. So, you know, it's really different in terms of India, you know, where, you know, you're connected directly, you know, you have a lot of house help, you know, that you see day-to-day basis, you know, you help them out. You know, it starts from there and stuff, you know, and
Social country, we are
whereas there, whereas Western countries, you know, the government sort of does a lot for you, so you're dependent on the government. But when it comes to ease of business, you know, these definitely, you know, but my number one pick out of all these countries in terms of business right now would be India, hands down, because, you know, we are growing at a parabolic rate. And I think the opportunities that you're going to see in India in the next 5 to 10 years are going to be just unbelievable and phenomenal. I feel, you know, compared to comparison with anyone in the world, I feel like India is going to dominate the world globe, you know, business scene in next decade.
So what if someone from a tier 3 city in India or a small town wants to open a business such as those bros or wants to be an entrepreneur? Would it be easier for someone like you than him to build a business? Or it
Of
depends.
course, I mean, you know, there's, you know, of course, you know, my positioning is extremely different than that person, but I'm not saying that, you know, nothing is impossible, man. You know, I mean, you know, really, dude. Sometimes, you know, you look back and it took 1 year for my life to change, from me losing $3,000 a month to making $30,000 a month. It happened in a span of 1 year. So it's just magic, man. You know, it's just, you just never know. I mean, you know, just never know. You just have to trust the process. You have to believe in the process, stay plugged in, and you just have to, you know, stay at it and, you know, just believe in working towards your passion, working hard, and, you know, sort of following your dream that you have. You know, don't let anyone talk you out of it, or don't self-doubt, because, you know, that's the worst you can do for yourself. Is you know, self-doubting, I think, is, you know, the, you know, you're not gonna really, you know, execute it. And, you know, I always say that you have to be a doer in life. There's a lot of thinkers around you. You know, you'll sit down, we'll have a few drinks, we'll have coffee, you know, we'll discuss a lot of ideas, but how many of us will go and execute it? And the ones that execute
Are the ones who
become the
make
true success stories.
definitely.
So,
I
talking
wanted
about
to also ask you के what how much did doing roles as a bartender or like a waiter help you in understanding the customer
that
as
is
in like help understanding what the food business is about
that is
also?
and
I'm moving to the UK in a couple of months and
yes
I'm looking for to get a bartender or a
or a food
waiter's
service
job.
job.
So, man, it's a great question that you ask, because, you know, I actually owe a lot of credit to being have been being bred in this industry. And when I waited tables and I bartended, you know, the level of communication that happens, the level of expectation that the customer has from going from a hungry, grumpy stomach to a 30, 40, $50 steak, you know, that expectation is such a point where you learn so many things in that whole process, where the customer goes from being grumpy and angry if the food doesn't come on time to being happy and content by the time they leave and they tip you. That, man, that whole process, you know, of understanding communicating, you know, keeping your cool life, I think it's a life lesson in itself. So I feel if, especially, you know, when you look at, you know, Jamie Dimon, you know, who's the founder of JP Morgan Chase Bank, you know, one of the most leading CEOs, a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of these successful success story CEOs have all at some point or the other waited tables, bartended in their lives, because it teaches you human skills.
Yeah.
And guess what? Why are you the CEO? Who, you know, you're putting a force to work. You know, you're pretty much a CEO to motivate people. You know, your job is to motivate your team and also manage humans. At the end of the day, you know, why are you getting paid top dollars or top rupees? Is because you can take more shit, you can solve more problems, and you can deal with more people. And I feel like the life at the end of the day, it starts with people and it ends with people. So, you know, that whole journey of understanding, it's extremely, extremely important. And I would encourage every young person out there to go wait tables, bartend, you know, be in the people field, be with people, try to understand different personalities, you know, learn communicating. And, you know, I feel like, man, that is the key of just, you know, I feel like I owe, for me, I owe everything to that career. So there's nothing that I you know, that would, you know, if I didn't have that in me, I wouldn't be here today.
Definitely.
But in India, like dating,
exactly.
Also, the tipping culture, right? Like, if you wait tables in the US, you get tipped a lot.
In UK, you don't.
In UK, you don't. So, it differs from country to country, right?
Yeah.
See,
and
the tip.
It's a big taboo as well.
Like, it's no. You know why?
See, tipping culture, I feel, is at the epitome in United States.
Yeah. Exactly.
In US, you tip for every small little thing.
Mm.
Yes.
That's the culture. You know, you just are more thankful, and the tipping standard in US is massive. I mean, it's in restaurants, it's around 20%.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty much, you know, because, you know, the businesses don't pay servers and bartenders much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the waiters must be getting $2 or $3, $4 per hour, and the bartenders must be getting the same around. So, you know, the thing is, the wage standard in US now is around $14, $12 to $15 now. You know, people are making on average. You know, going from small to larger tiers. So, you know, tipping, you know, is massive. I mean, their incomes depend on tipping. And whereas UK and Australia, I've lived in Australia as well, are not that great because there's no tipping culture. The whole service thing is built into the MRP, the price that you're paying. And they're getting good salaries for being a server or bartender. So, you know, that is taken care back end. Whereas India is right in between both of them. India, you're not tipping 20%, but still people are, you know, people will leave 5%, 10%, I think I've seen in India.
Yes.
And I feel, you know, that is where, and, you know, of course, the guys are making good salaries. You know, my boys, you know, working, you know, they're making good salaries that they can support, you know, their family or their own lifestyle. And, you know, the salaries are taken care of. Whereas US, you know, like I said, they don't have a base pay.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely dependent on tips. So, you know, that is a very different system that, you know, that works for them.
Also in India, when the bill comes and if I ask someone or if I, you know, leave a tip, the other person next to me would be like, it's their job to do it. Why are you tipping them?
Yeah, that's
The exact statement that people
see. That, bro, is something that is your mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that, you know, you learn from your family. I feel, you know, you learn to thank people or be grateful or be kind. It comes from your family. So it really depends on your own mindset. You know, if that 10 bucks or 20 bucks or 50 rupees matters to you so much.
Sure.
I mean, you know, be it. I mean, you know, maybe you're not, you know, I mean, that's what your mindset is.
Definitely.
And, you know, it's if that's going to, you know, it's just, you know, sense of gratitude, I feel, you know, just it's different from individual to individual.
So also when you started those foods as a Mexican food chain in the US, it's not something that the American audience is seeing for the first time. I mean, it has been done before. It has been done by Chipotle. It has been done by Taco Bell. So you had to compete with these big restaurant chains, these fast food chains, which in a sense had become a noun for the people in the US. So how did that go?
So bro, you know, you just have to trust the process. You know, when I was designing Dose Bros, my benchmark or my idol was Chipotle, because, you know, Proven Concept, one of the most restaurant successful chains, fastest growing, good
We
food.
don't have Chipotle in India, do we?
No, we don't. Good food. So my goal was to make it better. The way we decided to make it better was number one, by providing more fresher food than Chipotle does with more superior quality ingredients, which is made fresh every day. Also, how we decided to make it better was being involved in the community that we belonged in. Like we were coming from Cleveland. So you would see those bros at almost every soccer game of kids, baseball game. You know, if there's some natural calamity, you know, we would be going out there, you know, taking our food, donating our food to the community, being a part of churches, being a part of colleges, being a part of schools, being part of local businesses, providing a great place for my employees to work in and enjoy that environment, you know, serving healthy food to my community. So, you know, these were the things, you know, which we decided to, you know, that are going to be fundamentally different from other brands. And that's how we are going to identify and make a difference in doing business the way we do in US.
So did Chipotle saw you growing, or did they even try to get back on you or something?
So now I think a couple of years ago, I think, you know, because, you know, I was in touch with one of their area managers and one of the regional managers, they did mention to us that the company is aware about you guys. Now, you know, this man, it's a massive company. You know, they have over 3,000 locations. You know, it's a massive hierarchy. I don't know if this is true or not, you know, if they know us or not, but yeah, I guess great. You know, if they know
Yeah,
us, you know, that's
exactly.
amazing.
Yeah, that feels good. Yeah.
Something you looked up to when you designed your business, you know, they were your
But
inspirations.
their team members, their managers, you know, everyone used to come try our food out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chipotle is a huge brand. So, of course, you know, their food comes from factory. You know, though
Yeah.
they have the branding, you know, that they brand that it's fresh, but it's all coming from factory. You know, whereas us, you know, we make food fresh live at every location. And we have not yet taken that true sense or essence away from our business of serving food with integrity and being honest to our customers. So, you know, that is still, you know, embedded in our brand. Even today, you know, with having 30 plus locations, we still, you know, cook at every site fresh and our ingredients come in. You know, we get delivery of food around 3 to 4 times a week. And we definitely are staying true to that.
Also, but does it become difficult for a business like this when you have to cook food every single day
Yeah,
and you have to be
preparation of
fresh?
food.
But
It
like,
does, you know, with the challenges that we are
yeah, because
facing now,
it's franchising, you know.
especially in the United States, the labor challenges that we are facing now, the shortage of employees, it definitely pinches us. But, you know, I'm very thankful to my franchising partners and the owners, you know, who take care of their stores and, you know, who are committed and who show up every day and, you know, who put in the hard work, you know, that if it wasn't for them, you know, we would not be here.
It's like a subculture in Wales. People are going to street foods and they are shitting on fine dining without even going there. And they are romanticizing the idea of eating on streets, eating street food. And they are shitting on basically fine dining.
It's not worth it and
So,
all of that.
what do you think about that? Because it feels a little irritating when people just randomly speak on things.
See, I think it's a great question you asked because, you know, we were discussing that before, that the whole future of food industry now, we've always had a huge street food culture in India, and it's never going to go away. It's only going to get more refined, I feel. You know, where government is going to get stricter with hygiene, and they should, you know, because, you know, it's and you know, it's the thing is that the middle class in India is so deep that not everyone can afford going to a fine dine or let's say even a sit down restaurant, not even a fine dine, but a sit down restaurant. So that is always going to, I feel, sort of, you know, remain in India. And honestly, you know, if kids want to do research on that, I feel India is a great playing ground of focusing on the street stalls and why and what makes them successful. So to tell you know, what my formula in Dos Bros is, it is definitely inspired by the, you know, somewhere inspired by the street style vendors. They focus on doing few things, but doing that right.
Yes, they only sell one thing, but they do it
I rather do 10 things at 100% rather than do 100 things at 10%. So that is, in short, with these multi-cuisine restaurants, eventually they will fade away. The multi-cuisine restaurants, only the ones that are giving quality stuff and that are paying attention and focus to the quality of ingredients and giving a true class experience will survive. Or else, you know, multi-cuisine restaurants have the highest failure ratio if you look in Ahmedabad or if you look around Gujarat. One, you are not supported by alcohol revenue, which, you know, other states are, which, you know, helps you jump your sales by at least 2 to 3%. I mean, sorry, at least 200 to 300%.
Okay.
So let's say, you know, if I'm...
Why so thrice?
Of course, bro, because the alcohol sales, pretty much, you know, average alcohol sales in the industry are 40%, 35 to 40%. So if you're, let's say you're doing 1 lakh rupees a day in a multi-cuisine restaurant, you're automatically going to do 1.5, 1.6 with having alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah.
So that at the end of the month is going to be extra, you know, 30 lakhs and, you know, 40% more. That's almost your extra 12 to 15 lakhs in revenue every month, you know, which you're not going to get in Gujarat.
Exactly.
So that
is easy outside of Gujarat, right?
I wouldn't say it's easy, but you definitely have that insurance. You have that cushioning built in with alcohol if you're able to manage to get the license to serve alcohol. But eventually, I feel that the whole restaurant industry is going to move predominantly towards quick serve concept, which is, again, Larry, you know, the stalls, you know, the street vendors, that is pretty much quick serve. You know, you go to a Maggie stall, you know, they specialize in Maggies only. You go to sandwich,
exactly.
They specialize in sandwich.
Exactly.
So restaurant owners eventually will have to learn to expertise in a certain specific cuisine.
Whoever think they do best, like...
Absolutely.
They
you know, do, like I said, do 10 items, but do the
exactly.
best that you can.
Like if
you
think Mexican, you think those foods.
Exactly.
And you know, you're seeing in Ahmedabad, you see right now, you know, that, you know, the food truck 9834 is really massive.
Yes.
You know, you look at, there's, you know, a brand called Chow Pizza, you know, a young guy, you know, started it, you know, they're doing amazing. You know, you look at the, you know, women, you know, who are into baking, you know, and focusing on cheesecakes or certain cakes, they're doing phenomenal. If you look at my concepts, you know, Dos Bros is specially focused, geared only towards Mexican food, which is authentic. You know, most of my ingredients are coming from US.
Yeah.
You know, my chips, my peppers, my tortillas, my nachos, you know, everything's coming from, you know, it's coming authentic from US. And, you know, the other ingredients, of course, that are native, you know, that we are using vegetables and everything local. You know, you look at, you know, my creamery, you know, creamery as well. We specialize into European coffee and ice creams. And that is also one of a kind. You know, we just focus on that. We don't try to give you 10 items. You know, we have some amazing boba teas. We have coffees. You know, our coffee is coming from Bangalore. You know, it's coming from Chipmangaluru. And, you know, it's processed here. And we have one of the best machines in the world that you can buy, La Mozzocco. And that's what it brews out of. And you know, our ice cream as well. You know, it's next level. You know, I would love for you guys to come down and try it out, because you know, it barely has any air, so it's very dense, very creamy, amazing mouthfeel, and you can customize it. You know, with whatever ingredients you want, and we blend it fresh for you. So you know, that's where you know that's so. You know, if you look, you know, I feel like the future is moving more towards single cuisine, and you know, if you know the other entrepreneurs, you know, that are planning on getting into the restaurant industry, I would highly recommend them to stick to a smaller menu, but do it amazing. You know, be known for what you serve.
Exactly. Don't get mixed up into variety.
Absolutely.
Overcomplicated.
Yeah, thing. Just like play into quality.
Correct.
And that's because I was watching a documentary of Wall Street Journal. They were discussing and showing different models of different US restaurant chains. So they were discussing McDonald's, they were discussing Subway, they were discussing Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A has a similar thing as to those stores, right? They serve fresh and they have a limited menu.
Chipotle.
No,
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah,
Chick-fil-A. No, Chick-fil-A again is a fast food giant.
No, but like they said it there, but it's like, so...
These guys, man, you know, they're...
Chick-fil-A though has a...
No, but it's also like they have a very limited menu. They have only 15 to 17, 20 some items.
You know, if you look at Chick-fil-A's ingredients, it's one of the brands, you know, that I really love.
Yeah.
And they have one of the best... They are pretty much the benchmark in our hospitality industry for service. I'll definitely give it to them. And they have an amazing business model. But when it comes down to the sandwich, it has more than 42 ingredients. So it has more than 40 ingredients. Just go online and it's as shitty as McDonald's. But it's just that the presentation and the service and the look, they make it better.
They make it feel special.
Absolutely.
They feel different.
And you know, they are massive company doing great revenue. I don't mean to diss or I don't mean to say ill, but I'm just giving you the fact when it comes to nutrition. It's
so let's talk about the franchising model of different companies. So it would cost you around $1.5 million to open a McDonald's in the US. And it would cost you half of that revenue to open a Chick-fil-A. And the
Chick-fil-A, that is not correct.
No, but they said $300,000.
To open a Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
No, no, that's not
so, no, but I like the process of Chick-fil-A of, you know, interviewing their franchisors is much rigorous than that of McDonald's. Is what
correct.
That was shown.
Correct, that's correct.
So
Chick-fil-A, bro, you know, has... They are a southern company founded out of Georgia. And Chick-fil-A has a very southern Christian culture. And, you know, they mostly expand with owners that are visiting churches regularly. And that's the ones that they recruit.
That's why they are closed on Sundays.
That's correct. That is correct. And also, an amazing thing about Chick-fil-A is that you can be a franchisee owner of Chick-fil-A for as low as $5,000. So you're pretty much a glorified employee of Chick-fil-A. You're not the franchisee owner because the company owns everything. They give you a 49 or 50% partnership based upon given that you'll be putting in 50 to 60 hours of your time every week to the business. The day you stop doing that.
So what's the franchising model for Dose Bros, I wanted to ask?
So the franchising model for Dose Bros is, you know, we guys charge 15 lakh rupees as a one-time non-refundable fee. Which gets you covered for 5 to 7 years of the franchising. Then we have a renewal fee. And, you know, Dose Bros, you know, usually costs, you know, one store costs anywhere from 1 CR to around 1.8 CR. All right. So depending if it's a mall location, those are cheaper, you know, the mall locations, you know, which is...
They would be expensive.
No. And if you're going for like a, you know, full-fledged, like we have on Sindhu Bhavan, like a full restaurant, you know, which is in around 1,500 square feet carpet, it's going to cost you, run you around 1.8 to 2 CR. So that is where it's at. And then we charge, you know, a royalty fee, which is on net sales after GST. We charge a fee of 6%. Plus we charge a marketing fee on top of that. And, you know, that is pretty much, you know, the Dose Bros structure.
So this MBA Chaiwala made, like, he did a whole scam on franchising his business.
Yeah.
And they had calls of franchisee owners calling up Praful Billore.
Oh, he scammed. He's
good. Yeah, yeah. No. He's not like
he's there, but he's scammed.
Yeah,
he's
He's still there. So what he did was, if you wanted to open an MBA Chaiwala franchisee, he would ask you to, you know, invest 25 to 30 lakh rupees. And that money would not be like it. There is no ROI in MBA Chaiwala. Okay. So people don't come. They will come once, they will try twice, thrice, but they don't, there are no returning customers.
No way.
Yeah.
You have to business, near a very corporate location, then
it'll work.
Yeah, then only it'll work. Because
near a very corporate location or near a college.
Yeah,
or
high food traffic. High food traffic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but other than that, most of the franchisee owners are, you know, they have lost their entire life
savings.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't know this.
No, there are call recordings of this.
There are
very serious call recordings of this, and Praful Billore himself has disowned these franchisee owners. Like, I did not have to do anything with them, and I don't know what agreement he makes them sign or whatever, but they cannot fight him legally. So that's the entire thing that he has.
But see, bro, the thing is, dude, you know, it's a sad truth about business that, you know, you hire, you know, risk and reward. You know, it's, I mean, you know, it's it could go either way.
But if you are a, you know, you made the brand, if someone, some franchisee owner of those stores comes up to you and he says like he's not doing well in the business, you would help him out.
Of course.
But
we would.
He doesn't. That's
We would definitely stand behind, you know, and try to understand. Because, you know, you go through different things. And, you know, the thing is that I believe that, you know, my franchisee owners are my biggest customers.
Exactly.
You know, you might be coming to Dose Bros every day eating a bowl. You're buying a bowl for 250, 300 bucks. But when he's coming and buying a franchisee of 2 crores or 1.5 crores, dude, he is my biggest believer.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I have to support him no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And we deal with people case to case basis,
mm-hmm.
because you know we've had owners. You know, we've had careless owners in our brand as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, where they don't care after investing so much money, you know, they don't care about the business. Where we have to get involved, strong arm, and take the business away from them.
Mm.
Because, you know, our brand is at stake.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah,
and then, you know, we have some phenomenal owners, you know, who even in terms of COVID, when employees were not showing up, were working 100 hours a week in their store, keeping it open. So, you know, it just depends case to case basis. But like I said, you know, it's business at the end of the day. And, you know, people can get pissed, you know, if their life savings is at stake and if they feel that they believed in your brand and they went ahead. And I'm not saying that, you know, you cannot go wrong. You know, I mean, this is at the end of the day, it's business, like I said. But, you know, of course, you know, we would definitely, you know, if people are putting in their life saving, you know, we would. And, you know, that I think it's just, it's about your own integrity and about your own self-belief of how much you believe in supporting people in life and what kind of a human being you are. And if you're willing to live with that karma.
This was Popriya Podcast.
Thank you so much again.
Amazing time talking with him.
Thank you guys. Pleasure. Yeah. Pleasure.
The first time, we hope it's not the last. So
sure.
Exactly. Hope you enjoyed.
All right. Thank you so much.